Welcome to a beautiful Memorial Day weekend. We're glad that you're joining us, streaming here live from Standale Baptist Church. This is a weekend that many times families go out and picnic together. Usually there's a parade, but not this year. This is certainly quite different. But we're hoping to be together again as a congregation. It will not be this Sunday, of course, as I'm coming to you into your living rooms or wherever you are listening to me, but hopefully it will be soon. Those of you who are members of our church, attenders of our church, you should have received a reopening procedure schedule, and if you did not receive one of those, please let us know, and we'll get one to you. Right away, so that you will know what to expect when we do reopen as a church. We're excited that things are becoming a little better here in Michigan. The upper part of our state is opened more, and so the lower state is struggling a little bit with this pandemic, but things are going to get better, and they are getting better. So we're just happy to be able to report that to those that are listening that are out of state. And we're hoping that things are going well for you wherever you are listening from. Well, let's open our time in prayer. And before we do, we need to remember what this holiday is all about. This holiday is about remembering those that sacrificed their life in order that we can enjoy the privilege of living here in a free America, enjoying the privileges that we have as Americans. And so we need to be careful and not get caught up in all the things that we normally would do on a weekend such as this. I know it's enjoyable to get together with families, though that's kind of limited this year. And spend time having fun together. I know here in Michigan, a number of folks will head out to the shore and maybe head up north where it's a little more open. But listen, let's remember those that sacrificed their lives, that we can have the kind of freedoms that we enjoy here in the United States. Well, let's open our time in prayer, and we'll begin our lesson for today. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning realizing that we live in a country that offers us so many freedoms, and we enjoy those freedoms. We relish them. We are so excited that we can experience the happiness of joining together as Americans and just celebrating our Constitution, celebrating our Bill of Rights, celebrating the wonderful aspects of liberty and justice and freedom for all. Lord, we know that there are many who sacrifice their lives in order for us to have these freedoms. And Lord, I know that there are families that will remember those loved ones, and there will be empty spots around tables this year, and there will be some sorrow and sadness. And we just ask that you would encourage these families. And Lord, I wish there was a way that we could help them to realize how we appreciate the sacrifice their loved one made on our behalf. But Father, we just ask that you would just comfort them and minister to them in a very, very special way this holiday weekend. We want to remember. We never want to forget. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, church. I hope that this stream finds you well, and I hope that you are taking time to get outside, to walk around, to enjoy all the things, beautiful things that God has created, and to take some time to slow down. I think that's probably been the best advantage, if you will, of all this lockdown, is it gives us a chance to kind of take a step back and to really evaluate the things that are really important. And I know a ton of things are going on, and people are getting restless to get out. And now that all these restrictions have been extended once again, people are kind of taking it to some extremes. But I hope that as the people of God, we set a good example to be a peaceful people. And I hope that you're not letting all these things get to you. I was reminded as I had heard that the restrictions had been yet extended one more time, that it is for the safety of people. And we have to be aware that there are many who we just don't know how they're going to react to these kind of diseases and viruses. And so I wanted to read this verse this morning as an encouragement to you. To remember not to focus on the negativity, not to focus on all these bad things or that are going on around us, but to instead focus on the one who's in control of it all. And Paul writes this when he wrote to the Philippians, and you'll find it in chapter 4, verse 8. It's a pretty well-known verse, and it goes like this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. It's too easy for us to dwell on the negativity, to dwell on hate, and to get all riled up. But let's show that the people of God are a peaceful people. And we focus on the God who's in control of it all. And whatever he decides is okay with us. So this morning, I would like to start us off with a song about a reminder of how much God truly loves us. We've sung the song a couple times. It's called The Father's Love. Let's sing it together, shall we?
How has the sinner been forgiven? How has the rebel been made clean? Oh, blinded eyes been made to see? How have the orphans been adopted? Who hated your love and ran from grace? Despised and rejected all your ways? How wonderful the Father's love for us, that he would send his only Son to come and rescue us. Well, he has saved us, called us blameless, guides us now and will sustain us. Oh, how wonderful the Father's love. Mercy floods our lives with kindness, and your grace has colored all we see, and you have promised not to leave. You freely give your Spirit to us, so we can be sure we're sons of God, rest in the hope of what's to come. How wonderful the Father's love for us, that he would send his only Son to come and rescue us. Well, he has saved us, called us blameless, guides us now and will sustain us. Oh, how wonderful the Father's love. Though sufferings may fill our lives, we're confident we're heirs with Christ. And so we cry, Abba, Father. Though sufferings may fill our lives, we're confident we're heirs with Christ. And so we cry, Abba, Father. How wonderful the Father's love for us, that he would send his only Son to come and rescue us. Well, he has saved us, called us blameless, guides us now and will sustain us. Oh, how wonderful the Father's love.
Tomorrow's Memorial Day, and we're glad that you're here. Hopefully you'll have your Bibles with you and you can open them up to 2 Timothy. We're going to delve into God's Word in a passage that deals with being a good soldier in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, traditionally, this is a time when a lot of families travel up north. It's a time where families get away for the first time of the summer. Many will gather in their communities to watch and participate in local parades and then maybe head home for a picnic in their backyard. But this year is going to be quite different because our parades have been canceled and many of the parks are closed due to the pandemic. Nonetheless, this day still stands as an important reminder to Americans. Where I grew up in Iowa, we traveled into Fairfield for a special Memorial Day service put on by the VFW. The purpose was to lead people to remember the sacrificial death of those that fought for the freedoms that we cherish so much. I was a young boy, and it really didn't mean a whole lot to me. I enjoyed some of the music, but the speeches were all kind of boring. But it was our tradition, and of course, my parents required us to go, and it was a way of getting into town, and usually we had some ice cream afterwards. But it wasn't until I was in college, and I traveled with a friend to Washington, D.C. While I was there, I toured the Arlington National Cemetery, and I was absolutely fascinated by all that I saw there. I was amazed by the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and I was extremely amazed by those various tombs that are there associated with one another. In 1921, the unknown World War I American soldier was buried there at the site of the cemetery. And the burial site, which is located on the hillside overlooking the Potomac River, has become a focal point of reverence for all Americans across this country. Sculpted into the east panel of the white marble tomb, which faces D.C., are three Greek figures that represent peace, victory, and valor. And there are six threes, three sculpted on each side that represent six major campaigns of World War I. Inscribed on the back of the tomb are these words: "Here rests in honor, glory, an American soldier known only to God." No one knows who that soldier is that is entombed there in that World War I crypt. West of the World War I unknown tomb are three crypts of three unknowns from World War II, the Korean War, and also the Vietnam War. Those three graves are marked with white marble slabs that stand flush with the plaza. Because of the science of DNA, the grave that represents the Vietnam War is now empty. The remains of this soldier was identified, and his remains were returned to his family, and so that particular crypt is now empty. So this weekend, we remember those who gave their lives that we might enjoy the freedoms that we're celebrating, and it's a wonderful thing to acknowledge not only those who sacrificed their lives for these freedoms, but also for those that are currently serving. There are many families that have loved ones that are serving right now overseas and are in various places around the world. And we appreciate and honor those that are serving. And we also have a number of folks that have served and have been released from the military, and maybe it's been a number of years since they served, but we want to remember you too as well. And we honor those years that you gave to represent the United States of America in whatever military that you served in. So we want to honor all our veterans, and even though we are not gathering at special memorial services or having parades due to the pandemic, we honor those who gave their lives for the freedoms we enjoy. We honor all our vets this day. For those of you who served and or are now serving in the military, again, thank you. Thank you so much for your service. Well, this morning, I want to talk about a different kind of war. It's a war that every believer is fighting in. This war is an overarching battle that has continued or was inaugurated at that moment when our first parents sinned in the Garden of Eden. It's recorded in Genesis chapter 3. And all the wars that have been fought down through redemptive history find their root there in Genesis chapter 3. And so it is important for us to understand this particular war that we're in. And you as a believer listening to this lesson this morning, you no doubt understand what I'm talking about. And you are in a battle, and you realize that you are a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. The spiritual war that we are in has millions of veterans, with many of the saints, or shall I say soldiers, have lost their lives because of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ and their love for the Word of God. And many of those dear saints are only known to God. You know, I have a distant relative on my mother's side by the name of Thomas Carman that lost his life. He was burned at the stake by a queen of England. She was called Bloody Mary, and he was persecuted and finally burned because he refused to recant of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a Puritan, and you can find his information online, or you can read about him in Fox's Book of Martyrs. But there are many who are suffering because of their faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as I speak, there are many that are suffering. There are some that are incarcerated because of their faith in Christ. And so we are soldiers of Jesus Christ in a unique war, a war that is going on in our culture, a war that is going on around our globe. And so this morning, I want to take time and talk to you about this war. And I want to begin by communicating to you what the Apostle Paul wrote to young Timothy, knowing that Paul himself would soon be martyred for his faith. Historians tell us that the Apostle Paul was put to death in a guillotine. His head was removed from his body because of his commitment to Christ. But this letter that he wrote, 2 Timothy, is the last communication that he had, and it was written to this young pastor. And he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." Paul was about to pass on the baton to a young man that he had discipled, a young man that he had encouraged in the faith. He had written him not only this letter, but also another letter previously. And he wrote this in his first letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verse 18. "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made to you, that by them you may wage a good warfare." We see here in these passages that Paul understood that He was in a warfare, that he was in a war, and he wanted this young pastor to understand what he was up against. He wanted this young man to understand that he was a soldier of the cross. At the close of the first letter that Paul wrote this young pastor, he says this to Timothy in chapter 6, verse 12. He exhorts Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life for which you were called. Well, what does it mean to lay a hold of eternal life in respect to fighting the good fight of faith? What's involved in being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? What is required of a person, of a believer, in regards to all of this? Well, Paul wonderfully uses seven metaphors in his letter, second letter. He talks about the metaphor of a teacher, a soldier, an athlete, a farmer, a workman, a vessel, a servant, to help Timothy understand what's involved in being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It is Paul's favorite metaphor, though, of being a soldier that we are going to consider today. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we're going to discover what it means to be a good soldier in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's going to be three characteristics that we're going to examine together. And the first key quality or characteristic is that a good soldier of Jesus Christ endures hardship. A good soldier of Jesus Christ endures hardship. Look at verse 3 with me if you have your Bibles. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The word hardship is one word in the Greek. It is a word that means to suffer evil or pain along with someone else. One scholar translates the phrase, taking one's share of a rough treatment. Well, you know, this pandemic is being shared by all of us. We're going through this together. And some places in our country are suffering more than other places. And the southern part of Michigan here, we're suffering more than the northern part of our state. But we're suffering together. And maybe some are not suffering as much as others, but we're in this together. Well, spiritually speaking, when Paul is talking about the spiritual warfare that we're in, we're talking about the fact that we are soldiers together. We're like one mighty unit, and we're here to be good soldiers in the Lord Jesus Christ. A good soldier is willing to share in hardship along with his comrades. He does not lag behind. He does not hide from battle. He doesn't give in to the enemy. He does not refuse to carry his load. You know, over the years, I've known some believers that do some of these characteristics that I just stated. They just kind of lag behind. They're kind of on the sideline. They're not really involved. That's not being a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul never asked anything of others that he himself was not willing to do. In fact, if anyone was suffering in the heat of the battle, it was certainly the Apostle Paul. At the writing of this epistle that he communicated to this young pastor, Paul was in prison. And he was soon to be martyred for his faith. It is difficult for us to comprehend the reality of this kind of warfare. Even though our secular society is becoming increasingly hostile to Christianity, most of us have never known anyone to lose their job or to go into prison or certainly to be executed because of their faith. But things are beginning to change in our American culture. In the last days, the scriptures communicate to us that it's going to be more difficult to be a faithful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan's going to put up roadblocks and hardships and a lot of rejection. Jesus warned us in John chapter 15 with these words, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Listen, the scriptures teach that if we live godly in this world, we will suffer persecution. And sadly to say, some believers or people that call themselves Christian go underground with their faith. They become like secret agent Christians. And sadly, that's not what true Christianity is all about. Well, this leads to the second quality of being a good soldier. A good soldier of Jesus Christ doesn't entangle himself. A good soldier of Jesus Christ doesn't entangle himself. Take a look at verse 4 if you have your Bibles open. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Let me read that again. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. A soldier on active duty doesn't have a 9-to-5 job or a job that he works at 60 to 70 hours a week. He's a soldier 24/7. He's on duty day in and day out, 7 days a week, around the clock, throughout the week, throughout the month. A soldier's body, skills, and time all belong to the military. And even when he's on leave, he is susceptible to recall at any time for any reason. Therefore, whenever ordered by his commanding officer into a dangerous duty, he's expected to respond immediately. He's expected to put his life online without any questions or hesitation. For this reason, a soldier is separated from his normal environment so that he will not entangle himself in the affairs of everyday life. The phrase entangle himself is one word in the original Greek, impleko, which literally means to weave. Paul is not speaking about things that are necessarily wrong in and of themselves, but what he's referring to is that a soldier is not to get so wrapped up in the world that he loses sight that he is a soldier serving in the military. And so in the same way, a good soldier of Jesus Christ refuses to allow earthly things to consume him to the extent that he loses sight on what his mission is in this world. Our mission as good soldiers of Jesus Christ is to be salt and to be light, as Jesus communicated in the Sermon on the Mount. Our mission as good soldiers is to fulfill the commission that he gives at the end of the Gospels. We never are to lose sight of that as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Some believers have been undermined by concerns that were innocent in and of themselves, but it ended up crowding into their lives, and it ended up taking them off course in their walk with God and in their mission that God called them upon. This was an issue with some of Jesus' disciples in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. Jesus is speaking to a group of disciples, and as he journeyed on the road, someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then another came to him, and Jesus said, "Follow me." And he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and you preach the kingdom of God." And another said to him, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are in my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put their hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, it was that passage of scripture as a very young man that God used to call me into the ministry. And when I understood that passage, I realized that that was a call to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It was leaving the world behind, and it was putting Christ first and foremost in my life. That's what it means to be a follower, a fully committed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Just as a soldier willingly places their life on the line of service for their country, so faithful Christian soldiers willingly denies himself and takes up his cross and follows Christ. As the Lord states in Matthew 16, verse 24. Well, they will say with the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, verse 24, I do not count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish the race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul was committed to his responsibility as being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, the final key quality found in our text is a good soldier of Jesus Christ pleases his enlisting commander. A good soldier of Jesus Christ pleases his enlisting commander. And we see this in verse 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. The genuine desire of a good soldier is to please the one who enlisted him. And this is the desire of every Christian soldier. With total allegiance, he wants to please the Lord Jesus Christ as his commander-in-chief. It's impossible to serve two commanders, just as it's impossible to serve two masters. Our Lord communicates this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He says, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else be loyal to the one and despise the other. The desire to be people pleasers is characteristic of our fallen nature, and many believers become concerned about pleasing their fellow workers or their neighbors or their friends, or then about pleasing the Lord. That's what's involved in pleasing two masters. That's what's involved in having two commanders in your life. You're either serving the Lord or you're being influenced by someone that you're trying to please, whether it's a neighbor or a friend or a worker or maybe someone in your family, or maybe you want to please yourself. I don't know what it might be, but you cannot serve two masters. The Apostle Paul underscores the fact that his motive was to please the Lord. Paul's pleasing of God was foremost. He writes to the church of Thessalonica these words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our heart. Later in this letter, Paul writes these words in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more, just as you have received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. And then the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him And this is what it states concerning him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. We must remind ourselves of the sobering testimony of the Apostle Paul again in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. If I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And to the Corinthians, he said in 2 Corinthians 5, 9, we will make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Three key qualities of being a soldier, a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. A good soldier of Jesus Christ endures hardship. A good soldier of Jesus Christ does not entangle himself. And a good soldier of Jesus Christ pleases his commander that enlisted him. Listen, God enlisted me in his army so many years ago, and I have sought to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I work at it every day and every week and every month and every year. I'm in a battle. It's a battle with the world and its influences. And let me tell you, the world is very powerful. And what I have to help me is the Word of God. And my encouragement to you is to be in the Word of God. This is a tremendous tool for you in fighting the war that we are in spiritually. Am I a soldier of the cross? Was the question that was asked by Isaac Watts during the years of persecution many experienced as English dissenters against the apostate Anglican church in England. And these dissenters had split from the official state church because of the apostasy and the heresies that had infiltrated the Church of England. And men such as Isaac Watt became resolute and fearless in their proclamation and defense of the gospel. And this hymn came out of a sermon that Isaac Watts communicated. It was written in 1724, and the sermon was entitled Holy Fortitude or Remedies Against Fears. Well, let me read this hymn to you today because it's just full of good content. It's a great hymn of the faith. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on overflowing beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Thy saints in all this glorious war shall conquer, though they die. They see the triumph from afar by faith's discerning eye. When that illustrious day shall rise and all thy armies shine in robes of victory, through the skies, the glory shall be thine. A hymn written with tremendous emotion by Isaac Watts, who was going through tremendous persecution in his day in England. Listen, brothers and sisters, there is a day coming where we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be rewarded as soldiers, faithful to our Lord and Savior. We're going to be rewarded because we fought the good fight of faith in the army of God. For soon our fondest hopes will be realized when we hear our commander-in-chief say these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." my friend, as you've listened to this message, and is Jesus Christ the commander in your life? Can you say that you will enter into the joy of the Lord? My friend, have you the assurance of heaven? It's important that you seriously answer these questions that I've asked you. You can be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. It simply means coming to him by faith. The Apostle Paul writes this in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, but that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He goes on to write, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He wrote to the church at Corinth in his second letter, chapter 6, verse 2, behold, now is the set time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Listen, don't put off being saved. If you haven't personally put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, why not trust him today? Why not become a part of that great throng of believers that are living around this planet, that are a part of this spiritual battle, that are looking unto Jesus who authored faith in their heart and will be one day the completer of it? That one day, when that good fight of faith has been completed, you will hear the Lord say, enter into the joy of your Lord. I cannot think of anything greater than to see someone listening to these messages come to Christ. Listen to me, friend. Is there anything keeping you from trusting Jesus Christ right now? You know, right where you are, you can trust in Jesus. You can just simply close your eyes and bow your head and ask God to save you. Invite Jesus Christ into your life. Seek his forgiveness of your sins. And trust him completely and solely for the salvation of your soul.
Extraordinary men and women went before us with unmatched resilience, enduring hardship, when called upon to defend and liberate. They said, yes. They found courage to rise with every sun, loyalty toward their country, discipline for every command. Even in the darkest hours, they said, yes. They cherished and fought for freedom, so those coming behind them were assured of it. And when the moment came for them to give it all, their futures never to be written, they said, yes. Today, we think upon their sacrifice and find our way to honor them. Saying yes to making the most of what they gave us and filling the earth with God's goodness. We thank them for their yes. They will never be forgotten.
What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore, our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins they are many, His mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly roam? What Father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Amen.
I want to lead you in a prayer, those of you who would like to receive Christ. It's a simple prayer. I would encourage you to pray this prayer from your heart. It's a prayer that talks to God about your need of salvation. And so let's bow our heads and let me lead you in this prayer. Dear God, I come to you now. I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe that Christ died for me and rose from the grave. Right now, I repent of my sin, and I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins and the everlasting life I now have. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, my friend, it's not that prayer that saves. It's your heart communicating to God this kind of content. And if you're not ready to be saved, I'm praying that you will think about it. You know, we're available to speak to you. You can access our website, and there's information there that you can contact us, and we would love to interact with you. And it doesn't matter where you're from. We would certainly enjoy talking with you over the phone or through email. The gospel is very important. It's a matter of life and death, and we love you very much, and we would hope that you would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And those of you that are believers, we need to be reminded that we are in a war. No, it's not the kind of conflicts that are going on around the world where our American soldiers are stationed and constantly on guard, but we're in a supernatural war that we're fighting against invisible things as well as visible things. And we need to understand that we need to constantly be on our guard, and we need to be always ready to give a reason for the hope that we have in our hearts. We need to know that God can call upon us at any moment to stand up for Him, to stand true to Him. And so please don't become passive or lethargic or to sit on your laurels, but to be that active, committed soldier that Jesus enlisted you to be. I pray this in his blessed name. Amen.